You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. The following is a paid program, and the host is solely responsible for its content. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm here with Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. You're almost here a month, and what did I almost see?
You know what, Steve? This is my four-week anniversary.
Is it already?
I can't believe you're
who are you?
Forgetting about me.
Who are you?
You know, as like Wilner said, if you guys are on in another month, I'll come back on the show.
Well, in fact, let me tell you something. Since you have arrived, the numbers have peaked or at least gone the good way of trending. So, welcome. Hope you're feeling comfortable.
I feel good. I've been having a lot of fun. I've been getting a lot of good reaction from, you know, friends and family out in the community. So I think we're doing some good stuff here. And, you know, we've had some great guests, and I've had a blast. And I continue to have a blast.
In addition to that, I've heard some good things from the U of A. They're enjoying our guests because a lot of them involve the U of A.
Right, right. And, you know, it's, you know, we're focused on local. You know, there was some buzz in the, you know, on Twitter and Facebook among the local media members talking about, you know, because the other shows tend to talk a lot more about national sports and stuff like that.
And that's more powerful.
And that's fine. Yeah. We're trying to keep it local with guests who have connections into Tucson and who want to talk about, you know, some of our history, some of the things that are going on right now. Guys like Nick Gonzalez, you know, Nick Johnson, who was here. But then we've had guys like Steve Kern, Terry Francona, and Eddie Leon talking about the history of what's going on. You know, and then, you know, Yogi Roth, you know, he came and talked about, and John Wilner talking about what's going on right now. So I think, you know, that's kind of the niche that I think we want to stick with because that's what we know.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
We've been here for 100 years between the two of us, and I think that it's...
God, I shaved today, too. Hey, don't forget Nogales. We had the king of Nogales.
Exactly.
Bob Beth.
So I think that, you know, if people want to talk about what's going on in Tucson, some of its history, and some of the things that are going on that connect us, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, or trying to do, yeah. Today we're going to have a U of A grad, a very good golfer.
Ted Purdy. You know, I'm anxious to talk to him. I wish he was going to be here so he could give me some chipping tips because my chipping is awful. But, you know, I've checked out every video and I still can't chip. So, but, you know, I do have some interesting questions for him about both about his career and just about, you know, golf in general.
Yeah, he's doing some good stuff on the nonprofit area as well.
Right.
So we'll talk about that.
Right, right.
A lot of things going on, even though it's what almost the doldrums of summer. This is one of the things when you reach the summer, I did last year. Where? What are you going to talk about for back then? It's 2 hours. Like, but there's plenty. The NBA might be coming
there's
back.
There's plenty of stuff going on. The NBA, the Board of Governors appears ready to approve the plan that the Commissioner Adam Silver's put out, and they're saying they're going to get 22 teams all in one place, play a handful of regular season games to finalize some playoff spots, and then hold all the playoffs in Orlando. You know, let's do it. I'm ready.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Let's do it.
Let's get something going.
Let's get something going. You know, I gotta have. You know, again, my wife's gonna hate me when I say this, but I gotta have something to gamble on.
Do you
whether
have,
it's just, you know, betting somebody, you know, for a beer or a sandwich or whatever,
or whether Arizona's gonna finish last in the South of it,
or whether, you know, my wife told me today. She says you can't fight John Wilner and Anthony Gimeno, but, you know, I make no promises.
Right, right. Even to the wife.
Yeah.
Even to the wife. No, it's fun. Do you have NBA TV? NBA?
Well, sort of. My son has a subscription to it, so I can, you know, I gravy train off of him.
You can find a way.
You know, we share a Major League Baseball package, so we split that one, but he and some buddies buy the NBA package, and I think you can have two people at a time watching it.
Right,
so,
right.
You you know, if usually somebody's busy, but if I want to, you know, watch something, or I can actually get it on the radio on a phone, say I'm in the car.
Oh, you're
so
sick.
I'll listen to stuff. You
okay,
know? It just depends. You know, again, I belong to a sick group of people that we kind of have something going pretty much every day. So we haven't had anything going for a long time. So we're ready for the NBA, for the PGA Tour,
MLB,
anything to get started, you know, Major League Baseball,
whatever.
You're
wearing your Dodgers hat today. In fact, there was a good story today. Do you see that Price is...
Yeah, David Price, he's paying, out of his pocket, he's paying a bunch of minor leaguers their money. You know, he's, you know, again, you know, when you got a guy who's been there, you know,
yeah,
they understand, and they see. So that was very cool. It was very cool to see. And he's not even played a game for the Dodgers yet, but he's supporting the players in the organization. I thought that was real cool. I'm also wearing my Wildcats Own Omaha shirt today because I'm kind of mourning the fact that there's no College World Series, either the Women's College World Series or the men's, all those things. I think the Women's College Series would have started yesterday, and the men's would have been starting like maybe next week sometime. So I'm a little bummed by that. So I'm kind of in mourning with the Wildcats Own Omaha shirt today.
Right. We started this mess you were in Vegas March 13th ish. What time? You were in Vegas.
No, I wasn't. I was here trying to get ready for the Sugar Skull season.
Okay.
So I skipped that. That's a gig that I'm normally a part of. I would have been there. I had been there the previous seven tournaments in Vegas. This was the first one I hadn't attended because we were getting ready to start the season. But
10 weeks.
God, it seems like forever.
Right. 10 weeks, and we've made some progress, which is good.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's some of the stuff. Again, things keep happening that keep getting us closer. The U of A announced today that they're going to be phasing in athletes on campus starting June 15th. I think the first group of athletes is going to be some football players, maybe 20, 25 football players who can come to campus and start working out. And, you know, like John Wilner was saying, you know, as these things happen, we'll start to get more information. Mm-hmm. We'll get these players on campus and we'll see how things work. How's the social distancing working? You know, mm-hmm. what are they doing as far as masks? Where are they going when they're not on campus, and are they putting themselves in a position where they can come back and cause some issues on campus?
Well, I'm wondering now that you say that are they going to be policed? And I use that word policed in a loose term. Are they going to be followed, or are they going to be monitored? Where are they going to be going? Blah blah blah.
I don't know what the process is because the U of A didn't really say. They said they'll put more information out in terms of how they're doing this as it goes on, but they're in, you know, they've got a couple of task forces on campus, one a campus-wide reentry task force, and then one specific to the athletic department. So they've got processes that they've already developed or are developing, and they'll be ready to go when these guys get here on the 15th. So, you know, there's some buzz. I mean, things are starting, you know, continue to happen. Every day it seems like we take another couple of steps toward, you know, at least having, I'm not going to say normalcy, but at least having games starting on time in the fall.
And you talked about 20 to 25. That's about 25% of the team.
Right. The team is 85, 90, 95 players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but they said it's a phase in. So mm-hmm. they're going to get a group in and let them work out and see how that works. And then they'll, you know, get another group and then kind of build up and do it in stages so that they can get information as each group comes in and figure out what to do.
Right. Let's take a quick break here and get a hold of Mr. Purdy. You're listening to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm here with Jay Gonzalez, and we'll be right back.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
May is National Wildfire Preparedness Month, so the American Red Cross is sharing safety tips to help protect your family in case of a wildfire. clear debris, like leaves and branches from around your home. Store flammable materials such as firewood and propane at least 30 feet away from your home. Develop an emergency plan and review it with your family. And create an emergency kit filled with essentials in case of emergency. Check frequently with local radio and TV stations for wildfire news and emergency notifications. And for more info on wildfire safety, go to redcross.org.
Tipping Point with Zach Kintzer. Weekday mornings from 9 to 10.
Tucson, join us on Monday as we kick off the week on the show like we usually do, talking Tucson, making sense of the weekend that was and the week ahead. We'll take your calls, your questions, your thoughts. We'll talk about all the news, politics, COVID-19 items, and everything else that matters to you. You don't want to miss it. Tune in, 10:30 The Voice at 9. See you there.
10:30 The Voice. In times of crisis, information is vital.
Congressman David Schweikert.
Good morning.
Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you this morning.
Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services Eric Hargan. Eric, what's up, buddy?
We're working hard, as many people are.
CDC Director Robert Redfield.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
U.S. Senator Martha McSally.
Great job landing that interview yesterday with the CDC Director.
Trusted local news and talk about coronavirus. 10:30 The Voice.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have two-time All-American golfer Ted Purdy. Ted, how are you? We may have lost him. I know that Tom is raising his arms thinking that we don't have him. Maybe we lost him on the phone. We'll get to him in a second. He's kind of calling back. So you saw some golf over the weekend and had some interesting thoughts.
Yeah, you know, watching the Phil Mickelson Tiger Woods match with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I forget that guy's name. Tom Brady.
I looked at him though with the biggest. How come I can't be that good looking?
You know, but I think you know a lot of people's reaction. My reaction was watching Tiger Woods and just how kind of smooth and comfortable he appeared to be, and confident.
Right.
You know, he was hitting shots that he meant to hit. He wasn't spraying it all over the place, and I thought it was interesting that he looks like he's ready to go. I think people are expecting some big things from him this year. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm one of those guys. I just love watching him play.
Right.
I always have.
Right. I like to see when they get in trouble and how easy it is for them to get out of trouble.
Well, again, the shots that they hit, and you know when I play, we joke around, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try the Tiger Woods shot here, you know, and hit the impossible shot between two trees a sliver of green that I could probably hit that shot 100 times and not get it right one time.
Right.
But you know, the things that they can do with a golf club is incredible, but it's because they spend so much time with it.
And that's exactly it. You know, you're making millions for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I you know, covering the golf tournament. This was, you know, again, 100 years ago, but just watching Craig Stadler on the 18th hole at Randolph North, and his ball is up against a tree, and I'm like, what are you going to do here? And he takes out a club and he hits this slicing shot and lands it on the green. And I'm like, I would have just taken a putter and knocked it away from the tree and hit my next shot. So it's interesting to watch these guys play.
I think we're good to go. Ted Purdy, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great to have you on the show.
This is my honor. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, you're doing some great work with some nonprofits. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about your career at U of A and your life as a golf pro. I'm here with Jay Gonzalez.
Hi, Ted. It's good to talk to you. I'm looking forward to talking to you. I was telling Steve I wish you were here because I need some chipping tips. I'm really, that's the worst part of my game, and it has been for 40 years, so I need help.
Yeah, well, that's what separates the PGA Tour player from the average guy.
Well, you know what? Even if I was good at chipping, I still wouldn't be on the PGA Tour, but anyways. So, Ted, tell us a little bit about, you're doing some work with the food bank and starting a food drive here tomorrow. Tell us what's going on and what you've been doing and how you got involved in this.
Yeah, so it's really a great story. The Midwest Food Bank, Arizona, came to town. A friend of my dad's, a guy named Eric Sheldahl, decided to bring it from Bloomington into Arizona. And my dad, 3 years ago, joined efforts with him and is on his board and helped him get it started. And then as my career's kind of slowed down, and I tell everybody I'm one of the old guys now on the PGA Tour and at 46, and I can't wait to turn 50 to be a young, skinny guy on the Champions Tour. But in December, it's a funny story, I was actually looking at purchasing a golf course called Coldwater, and I went to Eric Sheldahl to raise funds, and I went to my dad, and I said, hey, guys, you guys want to buy a golf course with me? And they said, you know what? We'd love to, but we want you to go to work for us at the food bank. And I guess it was God's calling to send me to the food bank. They said, well, if we're going to lose money on a golf course, we might as well hire you to run our food bank. And and that was in December. And it was funny. I got into the tournament in Bermuda. I made the cut, which reshuffled me. So it was looking like I'd have a pretty good summer schedule on the PGA Tour this year. And then the coronavirus hit, and I couldn't be more in the action and in the center of things, working a food bank in this time of need. It's just something that's, you know, well, I was just put here,
At the right time. Last year, the organization raised $19 million to help out the efforts. That's incredible. You've joined a great organization. What are the projections this year, given the circumstances we're in now?
Well, in the first 3 months of the year, we gave away $19 million worth of food last year. In the first 3 months, first quarter of the year this year, we think we gave anywhere from $8 to $10 million away just in the first 3 months.
They found the right guy, apparently.
Yeah, well, and then the coronavirus hit, and we, you know, had to get more food. We had to procure more food, and we had to really go to the community. And the community's been really great supporting us with funds and food donations. And we had our biggest April ever, and May is probably double what we did in April. So we could give double, you know, $30 million worth of food out this year. We could double what we did last year.
Wow, that's crazy. That's incredible. And, you know, I mean, Especially at this time, I mean, there's so many people that are in need, but I also think that, you know, there's probably a lot, you know, fewer people that have the means to help you guys. So you're starting a food drive here tomorrow at a number of locations. Tell us how people can participate.
Yeah, so the Midwest Food Bank Arizona. So the Midwest Food Bank has 9 locations around the country. We're the Arizona division. We have a Tucson division. We service all of Arizona. But in this time of need, we're actually running out of food. We are making food boxes, and we are running out of food. And so we're having to go to the community. We are at putting food boxes at 22 Brakemasters and Merrill Automotive locations around the city of Tucson. So if you go to your local Brakemasters or Merrill Automotive, we'll have boxes there starting tomorrow. And we're going to do this radio campaign for the next 7 days. So we're trying to get everybody in Tucson, and the food's going to stay in Tucson. We're going to build the boxes for the community of Tucson. We service the pantries and the churches and the local agencies in Tucson. They're going to get these food boxes that from the food that we raise in Tucson. And also the what our manufacturers supply for us all year.
So Tucson, given that you played at U of A for your time here, Tucson must still be near and dear to you, and the success of this program helps.
Oh, for sure. I love Tucson. I just love Tucson, and I loved my time at the U of A. I'm in the Sports Hall of Fame there. I go down to as many football games and basketball games as I can, obviously, and it's just a great community, great town, great people. Once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat, and it's an honor to be able to serve those in need in Tucson.
So where, you know, we'd love to, you know, post some of this on our social media. So where can people go for information, addresses and whatnot about, you know, what's going on with, you know, with the food drive and the food bank? You know, where can we direct them to?
It's arizona.midwestfoodbank.org.
Okay.
So arizona.midwestfoodbank.org.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be food, right? Money or whatever?
Yeah, if you want to donate, there's a donate tab on, in our website. We're doing the food drive because we're having trouble procuring food. We've been getting donations, but it's really hard right now to buy food. And obviously, we've all been to the grocery stores where, you know, it kind of feels like we're running out of things. So it's, you know, money's great, food's great. Support's great. We can always use volunteers. So we've got a volunteer tab on our website as well. Yeah, any way you can help those in need. It's a great organization. It's a pure organization, the Midwest Food Bank. And if we can get the support of Tucson, it'd be great.
Well, again, there, you know, there's a lot of this type of thing going on where, you know, people are realizing that they've got to, you know, everybody's got to help out. And I think that the community here in Tucson, and I can say this from, you know, personal knowledge of some stuff that I'm working on the side, that, you know, a lot of people have stepped up here in town to help others. And it's been hard because it's hard for you to be able to do things when you're more or less quarantined to your home and stuff like that. So this sounds like a really great thing that you're doing here, and gives people one more chance to get out and, you know, just lend a hand. People need some help out there.
Yeah. And, I also want to bring up that our governor has given all the food banks, the access to the Arizona National Guard. We've got guard bases in Tucson that have been helping us, bring the food in, prepare the food, get it in boxes, and then the guard has been amazing by taking their tractors and their trailers and going and picking up food for us. We've gotten 30 loads.
Ted, real quick, let me interrupt. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk more about this on the other side. Thanks a bunch.
For nearly 7 decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members, through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these times and beyond. Bank locally with Hughes, selected by Forbes as one of the best in-state credit unions for 2 years in a row. We've got you today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have two-time U of A All-American golfer Ted Purdy. So, Ted, let's kind of go back and maybe reminisce about your time at U of A and your pro career. What were your kind of biggest highlights at U of A? We're talking almost 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I graduated in 96. So,
all right, 24 years.
24 years.
24 years.
But the highlight was the Ping Intercollegiate when it was at the Raven, now Arizona National. We were one of the top five teams in the country. Stanford was the top five team in the country. And I beat this guy named Tiger Woods by 6 shots. At the Ping Intercollegiate there in Tucson. So that was one of the highlights. I finished runner-up at the NC2A championship in, I think it was 95 or 96, and Tiger finished third. So I beat...
So you smoked him twice.
Well, yeah, he got me every other time.
All right, man. There aren't a lot of people out there who can say they beat him twice. Well, let me ask you, Ted, because I mean, I'm guessing, you know, I'll make the assumption that the PGA Tour victory you had at the Byron Nelson's probably, you know, your best golf day. But what's your next best golf day? And I'm talking about a day that you were actually, you know, on the golf course and, you know, doing whatever you were doing. But what, you know, what's a great golf day for somebody like Ted Purdy, who's, you know, been on the PGA Tour and done all the things that you did in the NCAAs?
Well, I mean, so golf is like, you know, a rhythm. And when you have an amazing rhythm and it's the same rhythm with your driver swing as you have with your 7-iron swing, as you have with your putter, if you have the same kind of cadence the whole day, you walk off the course and you just, it's just magic. So I kind of strive every time I tee off. I say, you know, I'm just going to have this nice rhythm the whole day. And if I can maintain that, it's just an amazing feeling, amazing day.
How often does that happen?
Never.
I was waiting for that. I set you up. I knew you were going to say that.
No, but yeah, I mean, that you strive for it, but it's really hard to do. I won the Byron Nelson in Tucson. Tiger was in that field as well. But I finished the Byron Nelson the last day. I shot 65. I hit every green in regulation, and I didn't make a bogey. I got done, and I got to spend about an hour before everybody finished with Byron. And he looked at the scorecard and he goes, you know, Ted, you didn't make a bogey all day. Because I don't think I ever did that. I said, I looked at him and, Byron, you won 11 in a row. I'm sure you did a lot.
Yeah, maybe his memory might have been fading by that time.
Yeah, it was. but what an amazing experience. That's the highlight of my golf career.
Sure.
And, yeah.
So it's got to be so. Let me ask you this, because you know you were out there and you won one tournament, on the tour. How hard is it to win a tournament? I mean, there's some guys that do it all the time, but most of the guys don't do it all the time. I mean, just how hard is it to win?
Well, I think, you know, the guy like Tiger wins a lot. And there are guys that Justin Thomas is winning a lot right now. What it's really hard to win, but it's really not. It's what happens is you just put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect, and it turns out that you really have to be overly conservative and patient. So Tiger, everybody thinks Tiger is this amazingly aggressive golfer. But he is probably the most conservative golfer that's ever played the game. You watch him, you know, he hits it in the trees a lot. Even when he won the Masters last year, on number 10, he's a couple back from the leaders, and he hits it in the trees on 10 on Sunday. And he didn't try to hit some miraculous shot. He just chipped out, hit it in the fairway, and then hit it on the green, and he missed his putt and made a bogey, and he went to the next hole. And then the guys in front of him just started falling apart, making double on 12 and bogeying holes coming in, and Tiger ends up winning the golf tournament. Well, he just didn't make those big mistakes. He just played really conservatively and hit it in the middle of the greens and made birdie when the golf course let him make birdie. So I'm 46, so I'm a lot smarter now, but I wish I had this brain when I was 25.
Exactly.
We all do.
Exactly. We all do.
Well, as you look back at your career, what a career. A few million you've made, you've earned, and you're still doing it. How do you reflect on your career?
Well, yeah, you know, I obviously think I kind of underachieved, but... But yeah, I mean, there are not too many guys that, you know, have made $1 million on a golf course hitting a white ball, and And I've been able to provide for my family very well, and I can work at a food bank now because I'm not worried about money. And it's been an amazing, being a professional golfer is, I can't think of a better career, at least for me. And I'm just blessed. I just can't believe what happened.
Well, that, you know,
I still get to go play. So it's fun.
Well, I was going to ask you that. So do you watch golf, you know, when you're not playing on a weekend? Do you watch what's going on the tour? Are you playing most of the time? Or, you know, what kind of a spectator are you? Or are you a spectator yet?
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing about golfers. Like, the professional football player, the professional basketball player, baseball player, on their off days, they go play golf. And the hockey players, they all go play golf. What's the golfer do on his day off? He goes. I mean, we're just junkies, and I love watching golf. I love following golf. I love seeing, like, how's Justin Thomas doing this, and and man, does he make every putt he looks at, and So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's just a fun sport. It's fun to follow. There are not too many sports that have their own, channel. We have the golf channel. So yeah, we're just a bunch of junkies, and we love following the game.
You're 46, like you said a couple of times, 4 years to the 50th, the PGA Championship area. So I assume you're probably looking forward to that.
Oh, heck yeah! I mean, playing on the Champions Tour. Hopefully it's still around when I turn 50. I'm sure it will be, because Tiger will be close to turning 50.
Well, Mickelson on Saturday during that event that over the weekend, he said he's like 3 or 4 weeks away from being 50.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
I hope he plays the Senior Tour. I mean, he's good. He still wins on the PGA Tour, so I'm sure he'll dominate on the Senior Tour, or the Champions Tour. But yeah, the legends, our generation's getting old.
I can't believe you guys are getting old, because that tells me I'm really old.
Yeah, and these young kids are just great. I mean, and they're growing the game like gangbusters.
It's fine. I just kind of want to go back to U of A before Jay asked you a question just about golf. When you were here in the mid-90s, I would venture to guess that that's some of the best all-time U of A memories for basketball. Football, Dick Tomey was doing really well. Lute had his teams rolling at the Final Four and then eventually the national title. You guys rolling on golf. Do you kind of look back and see that was kind of like the heyday of the U of A athletic department?
Absolutely. Jim Livengood, he ran a great show, and he always hired great coaches, and and the U of A is a family. We're still a family, and I think we'll be back. Our football program's going to come back, and basketball is obviously, I think we're going to come back, and I'm just very optimistic that our Wildcats are gonna get over this hump and be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, Ted, there's a couple of guys that I need some help with. Okay, so I've challenged two guys, Anthony Jimeno and John Wilner. I don't know if you know who they are. They're both writers. Both have been writers in Tucson. John's in the Bay Area now, and they both picked Arizona to finish last in the Pac-12 South this year. So I've said I was going to fight both of them. I can probably use somebody, maybe somebody a little younger than me, to come out and give me a hand. So if I need a hand with these guys, can I just, give you a call, and we'll meet them in a parking lot and take them? What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, man.
I'm in.
And you know what?
We got to defend it. Even if we're not worth defending, we got to defend them.
Exactly. And you know what? Bring a 2-iron, okay? We may need it.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you something, because Jay's talked about this a couple of times. He watched the weekend golf with Tiger and the guys and Mickelson and some guy named Brady and Peyton. So he was talking about the intricacy. Tell me.
Sure. Well, just, they had everybody mic'd up. So it was interesting to me to see how Tiger and Phil – work the golf course. you know, seeing how the grain on the green was laying, and that would help them know how fast or slow the ball was going to roll. They were playing in the rain, so they had a lot of other issues. I was fascinated by everything that goes into every single shot. I mean, how did you get that knowledge, and where did it come from?
Yeah, so that's honestly what separates those guys and the top, you know, perennial PGA Tour player. You know, I got my card in 1999, and I'm still playing. So, I mean, when you go into a golf tournament, we're looking at the weather report the night before. We're looking at the weather report, you know, 10 minutes before we tee off. We know which direction the wind's prevailing from. We know, we know the barometric pressure, like, and the temperature and how far our ball goes when at certain altitudes. And we know that the grass and the and we have great caddies that now have these amazing yardage books that have been mapped out with GPS. So we literally know every break from a satellite. And we know the satellite has given us the map of the green, and we know exactly how far a putt breaks from 10 feet at a certain speed of the green. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. It's just part of being an expert at what we do. Just like the astronauts that are going to take off this weekend, they just know every part of their job to the nth degree. And that's, you know, why they didn't fly this week, because they knew that potentially that wind was going to hurt their trajectory.
Right.
And it's the same thing with hitting the golf ball.
Fascinating stuff. I love that part of that. I didn't even really care who was winning, but I was having fun listening to those guys, listening to, you know, Phil Mickelson read a green for Brady, and you know, he makes his eagle, and Phil knew exactly what was going to happen on that putt, and he knocked it in, and it was great to see.
Yeah, I mean, we just know Phil's really technical. He loves learning all that stuff. Him and his coach out of Palm Springs, the names. But anyway, they study those greens. He goes to a major championship a month ahead of time, and he just maps every part of the green, and he knows every part of the chip. And Phil's good for a reason. That's because he really works at it. And so does Tiger, obviously. But those are two of the most special. What was amazing to me, I'm in the nonprofit world. Those four guys were able to raise $20 million in an afternoon.
Unbelievable.
So that's pretty incredible.
That was incredible.
Well, Ted, we hope you do well with your nonprofit, and we'll post whatever we can for the food bank.
Oh, we're so grateful, and we love Tucson, and we're here to help Tucson people that need help with food.
Okay. Well, appreciate it, Ted. Good luck to you.
Thanks a bunch, Ted. Appreciate it.
We'll get back to you. Good luck. We'll hear back maybe down the road. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave.
Great.
Thanks.
Let's come back here for the final few minutes on 10:30 The Voice.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
The McLaughlin Group, the iconic public affairs show, is now on the radio. This American original is now hosted by John McLaughlin prodigy Tom Rogan and features the sharpest minds, best sources, and hardest talk from McLaughlin Group legends Eleanor Clift, Pat Buchanan, Clarence Page, and a new generation of panelists filling out the group. The McLaughlin Group brings you political discussion that is smart, sensible, and intelligent. Don't miss the McLaughlin Group this weekend.
Sunday mornings at 7 on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
It's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. That was a lot of fun.
That was fun. Again, when you hear Ted Purdy, who's had some success on the tour, he hasn't been, you know, at the level of a Mickelson or Tiger Woods. Well, who is? But he's had some success. And to hear him, you know, talking about, you know, checking the barometric pressure and weather reports, 10 minutes before they tee off and all the things that they got to pay attention to. You know what? I take about 5 seconds to read a putt and I hit it.
But
that's, you know, it's, again, they do that because it's their job, and their livelihood depends on it, and they're good at it, and it's a fascinating to hear all the things that they go through.
Let me change gears real quick. I just saw that Saguaro's Alyssa Brown and South Point's Bijan Robinson were named the top female and male athletes in Arizona by Max Preps.
That's awesome. Alyssa Brown from my alma mater, Saguaro High School. I'm a Cougar, so that was great. And I'm kicking myself because I never got the chance to go see Bijan Robinson play. I know his uncle Cleo pretty well, but I just never got a chance to see him play, and I kept wanting to, and then just never got around to it. But I will say that one of our interns at the Sugar Skulls was a quarterback at CDO, and he graduated year before last, so he saw Robinson his junior year, and I asked him, I said, when he was going to Texas, I said, does he have the goods? Is he the guy? And he just gave me one big nod.
Yeah.
And basically said, he's got it. He's the guy.
Where I wanted to go with that, because you've been here, you're a native guy. Who was the best local player you saw?
Football player?
Football player.
Best local football player that I ever saw. That's a toss-up, I think, between a kid named Fred Sims out of Sunnyside High School, who went to Oklahoma.
Right.
And he kind of flamed out there, but he was a beast. And I was actually covering high school football for the newspaper at the time.
Was that like 80? What, 19 something?
It would have been 84, 85 time frame.
Didn't he go to the same school
he and David Adams were
that's
teammates.
That's where I was going with it.
So Fred Sims went to Oklahoma, ended up getting beat out by Marcus Dupree, who I think maybe people have heard of.
Yeah.
And but he was unbelievable. And that Sunnyside team, Sunnyside had historically been not a very good program. And then those guys came along, and all of a sudden they were in the state semifinals. But I got to see him play a bunch, and he was unbelievable.
Who was the other guy?
Rodney Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Rodney Pete. That guy.
Yeah.
That guy. Again, and I saw Rodney Pete as a 12-year-old playing Little League, and he was a man amongst boys even back then. So, Rodney Pete, he didn't play his senior year in Tucson. His dad had moved to Kansas. He was at Kansas or Kansas State.
One of those.
He was in Kansas City. His dad had gone to coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. So I think Rodney spent his senior year playing at a high school in Kansas City, but you knew he was going to be something.
And he turned out to be something,
yeah. And the guy might have been as good a baseball player as he was a football player. So, so I think those two guys stick out. But there have been a lot of great players out of Tucson.
Haven't. So I've only been here for 30 years, so yeah. I didn't cover high school. So my real quick is Kadeem Carey.
Kadeem Carey.
And Michael Bates.
Michael Bates, I'm not going to call him a great football player. At least he wasn't at Arizona. Yeah. Now, he was a really good football player in high school.
That's where I'm going.
But I'm just sour about Michael Bates because I had to follow him around for a whole year during the recruiting thing, and I didn't like doing that. But Michael ended up being an Olympic athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up having a good career in the NFL as a returner, but things didn't go well for him at Arizona, and that's kind of how I measured things around here.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
He had a nice NFL career. So Michael stands out. I tell you, you got to throw in David Adams. David Adams didn't have much of a pro career, but he was an All Pac-12 or All Pac-10 running back here. So, you know.
And if you ask David, he was fantastic.
David thinks he's the best, but, you know, he I don't know what to say. He's just short.
No, we love David Adams.
Yeah.
He's been on the show a number of times, and I can't stop laughing when he's on the show.
But it's, you know, there have been some good players that have come out of Tucson. And,
two more,
you know, and some that have gone to other places. You know, Blake Martinez went to Sal Point. You know, John Volpe went to Stanford.
Right.
You've had some kids that have gone to other schools. And
well, you've seen that more and more now.
Yeah, and while we're seeing it a lot this year, Oregon is just coming and plucking out all the best players out of Arizona right now.
Well, it's good for
Arizona and Arizona State are getting left in the dust right now.
Well, it's good for Alyssa and good for Bijan.
Yeah, good for those two guys. Good for the local kids to be recognized nationally. I mean, not nationally, statewide, because a lot of times, you know, the local guys down south over here don't get the recognition.
Great show today, Jay. I'll see you Monday.
Another good show. We'll be here Monday.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tom. We'll take a break here on 10:30 The Voice.
Everybody have a great weekend.